Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast. Cousin Sal coming to you with his good, good pal, Dave Damashek, heel producer, Jim Cunningham, babyface, Joel Solomon, a whole host of others, Eddie Spaghetti, Mikey Meatballs, all here, all celebrating Wednesday night. There's only one thing to really talk about here, Dave. It's a schedule release. I'm conflicted about it. I want to talk about football all year round. It makes all the sense in the world to discuss this release, and it's a big day. It's an event. It's become an event, even though everything leaks out. Freaking Todd Furman, every 15 minutes today and last night, it's like, here's the Vikings schedule. Take a look at this. This is who your team's playing. I was like, I want to tune in on Wednesday night and watch it. And yet, then I see there's so much importance placed on it, and I'm like, oh, everyone just shut up for a second, please. Right? Do you feel the same way?
I hate to be cynical. You know, I love the great game of football. But what in the hell are we doing? Everybody had all this information with the exception of start times of these games. I mean, I guess you can look at it and get upset about, oh, three straight road games or whatever. But this is not new information, and yet people are treating it as though it is. All that being said, Sal, I'm with you. It's great that we are, at the time of this recording, 120 days from the season's kickoff, and the football season itself lasts 120 days. That's great. Another big date that I have already circled and I look forward to. Everything is hors d'oeuvre, appetizer to the main course. Sunday night, November 21st, me and Jean-Claude Van Damashek will take our seats somewhere in SoFi Stadium to watch the visiting Pittsburgh Steelers challenge the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers destined to win the AFC West against the Steelers, a plucky bunch. No one believes in them, it's been said this year. That's a good thing, because the teams that win the title every year, no one believes in them either, according to the guys in that locker room. So
that's a fun anyway, one. I'm excited. Cowboys go to the Chargers as well. That's going to be an exciting game. You know, and they rolled out the schedule. I have to say, this time last year, we were, you know, throat deep into the pandemic, right? Like, and I was at Fox Bet Live. We were just doing digital stuff. We would meet for 20 minutes over digital, and we would do it live, and it would go and it would record on Twitter, and I don't know who the hell saw it. And our producer's like, we're going over all the week one games. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. We are not even going to have a season, and it's 4 months away. What do we do? I was so mad. I was like, this is like, you know, like your fiance has broken up with you, and you're like, all right, but listen, let's just go through the rehearsal anyway. Let's go through the rehearsal. The one, no, we're not going to have a season. I was such a pain in the ass. Thank God we had a season. This year, it seems even not as crazy, but still 4 months in advance. And yet I was excited. I called it. I said Cowboys Bucks would be the first game.
You did call that. That was the first thought I had, was Sal wins again here.
I'm good at stuff like this, but not anything you could actually bet on. But I'm okay with it. It's usually that Sunday night game against the Giants, and that makes me nauseous and nervous.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And even though we've whipped the Giants the last few years, sorry, Spaghetti, that's kind of how it's been. I'd rather it be the Thursday game. Like you said, we have to play the Bucks anyway. Maybe they're a little out of sorts week one. They're the better team. I don't want to meet them in week 10, save a Tom Brady injury or something. I think week one's time to get them. How do you see that? You don't want three tough teams in a row, because then if you go 0-2, you see all those stats with, oh, teams that are 0-2, only 18% make the playoffs. Sure, you don't want that, but I don't mind starting with the best team on the schedule up first. How do you see it?
Yeah, I agree with that, as a matter of fact. And like I said to you a couple of days ago, I say again now, I don't know why we need any good games, any games that are going to impact the playoff picture that you know are going to, like my Steelers at the Buffalo Bills. I guess your point is accurate. Who knows? I don't know. Or maybe the Bills feeling too good about themselves after their banner year that didn't end in a Super Bowl. And yet everybody up there in Western New York is over the moon, and their skis about where the Bills are headed this year. I don't know. Maybe, you know, you always hear that talk. I don't know if it's nonsense or not. Although some teams do, they get over their skis a little bit. I guess I always am thinking of the super team Eagles as representing all those teams where the hopes are overflowing. Too much optimism. Maybe you're right. I don't know. What are we going to do? Week one, we're going to make picks 4 months away.
Well, here's what's
okay. Here's one. Here's you say Eddie Spaghetti.
Yeah.
Do you know that his Giants are giving a point to the Denver Broncos? Now, I wouldn't make a habit out of gambling on games that are 4 months away. I would rather bet on season totals.
Right.
And otherwise. But they're giving a point to Aaron Rodgers and the Broncos? Disrespectful. He's one of the greatest to ever do it at the
position. Aaron Rodgers, is that official? Because I wanted to talk about that.
Of course.
The league is treating it such that they kind of covered themselves. They gave the Green Bay Packers, they gave them two Sunday night games, I believe, late in the season. They're definitely in that flex window, so they could take them right the hell out of there. And like you said, that first weekend, it is Green Bay at New Orleans, right? Late afternoon Fox game, and Denver at the Giants, late afternoon Fox game. So they're going to get Aaron Rodgers probably either way. It's tough. I don't know what to do with any of this. Yeah, if you like Denver, take them now because they'll probably be a 4-point favorite.
That one, sincerely, I crack wise about Aaron Rodgers going there. But if you are reading the tea leaves the same way I am, that it's turning up with Rodgers in an orange jersey in September, then yes, this is the best bet out of that week one slate. Get in on it. And by the way, obviously the people that are setting these numbers agree with me, and because that's something else we've talked about, the Broncos didn't by accident or because of Drew Luck or Teddy B vault past the Chargers and behind the Chiefs into the second spot with the best odds to win the AFC West this year because of one of those QBs. It's on the assumption that Aaron Rodgers, or the guess at least, that Rodgers may land there. And by the way, I keep saying it's going to be June 1. What are we talking about? That's not the thing. I don't think they signed Blake Bortles to replace Aaron Rodgers. They signed Blake Bortles, though, to back up Jordan Love. They can't have zero QBs behind
he's behind in time. And however you want to shake it, Jordan Love is not ready to be a starting quarterback in September. So they had to bring him in. June 1 is the date that they save upwards of $22 million in a cap hit if they trade Aaron Rodgers. The Packers do. But then I read something today where, he would be willing to sit down with the Packers, but he wants to be guaranteed a starting role. I've never heard that before. Have you heard about that in a contract? Like, guaranteed, of course you want the MVP to be your starter, but what about 2 years from now if he's bouncing balls into the turf like Cam Newton was? You're like, let's look at that. Let's look at that small print there. You can't really throw a ball 3 yards and you're freezing and you all of a sudden look like a 40-year-old quarterback. I don't know how you put that in a contract anywhere, but if anyone could get it in there, it's probably Aaron Rodgers.
I guess so. But I don't think it's outrageous for him in, what he's been to that team and the way he's played to want that guarantee. I'm sorry to connect it back to the Steelers situation, because everybody 3-4 months ago, that was the subject, was what's that team with their quarterback Hall of Fame QB going to do? And trying to move on there. I suspect that Art II, the owner, met with him for exactly that reason. Like, hey, Ben, listen, no guarantees at this point. If it ain't going right and we're 1-8, we might turn to the kid. If we're not going to the playoff,
it in a contract before. I don't know how you would even put that in there.
The
other thing I'll
say
is
right here, pulling it out. He tries to get. LaFleur tries to take a mid-game. So fast, coach.
The other one you must love if you like that, Green Bay is laying 2 points at New Orleans. So if you think Jordan Love or Blake Bortles or Drew Luck is the quarterback, Saints are going to move to -4 there, right, on that, once that switches. So, Aaron Rodgers is worth 7 points, six and a half, 7 points. To the spread. There's a lot to discuss. I don't want to get off my Cowboys Bucks opener just yet.
Okay.
Tom Brady trolling the Cowboys already, but he's pulling a Damashek, putting America's team. We will be ready for America's team in week one. You drunk. He was drunk. He was spitting up in the Atlantic Ocean, throwing a Lombardi trophy all around last time we checked with him. And now he's making
44
fun.
Year old man playing these
How
childish
dare he?
Games.
He's not even going to start. Kyle Trask is the quarterback of that team. That's what I see it. But, all kidding aside, we have 10 teams have 5 primetime games. I think we said this would happen too. Dave, your team has 3. I thought you'd have 4 for sure.
Are you sure? I think we have 5.
What? I thought I saw 3 versus the Bears, versus the Seahawks, and at the Vikings. I did
no,
this so fast.
No, because the Chargers is a Sunday night game.
Oh, that's a night game? All right.
I think the Browns, I think they're maybe Joel, at look the that Browns up. For I mean, a Monday night
we're,
game.
We're yeah, literally I doing think this it is 20 five, minutes.
And, yeah, they have a Monday night game January 3rd against the Browns. Also.
It's right, funny, so though, wrong. Because so the Packers have a lot. Yeah. And the Ravens have a lot and the Steelers have a lot, but the Browns only have three. Isn't there any optimism about that? And
that is
I keep talking about the Chargers. It's weird. If nothing else, you know that that offense is going to be exciting. And so it's fun to watch, even if it's a bum game. Ultimately, yeah. At least, you know, the Chargers are likely to light it up based on last year.
Cowboys at Bucks versus Eagles at Vikings at Saints versus Washington. And the Raiders on Thanksgiving doesn't even count as a prime time, but so that makes six. And then your Steelers, Bears, Seahawks, Vikings. I missed the Chargers and I missed another one. The Browns. Is that the last Monday night of the year?
I think so. Yeah. Week 17.
That's fun.
Steelers and, have a tough road there. They got a rugged path there with their last four.
Well, it's going to be tough for them even to go 11-0 with that first game you mentioned. We glossed over Steelers at Bills. And again, I'm on another very popular podcast where we're supposed to guess for the first time what these week one lines are.
So are you allowed to look? I was just going to suggest that I step in.
I tried. I'm going to forget anyway. I really am just going to forget these anyway. But
let's pretend we're doing that show right now.
He cheats anyway. He cheats. who are we kidding? Bills, 6-point favorite. That hasn't happened since you can't remember a time when you were 6-point underdog at home, right? At on the road or in week one at all, right?
No. And Andrew Filippone, who does a radio show in Pittsburgh, pointed out that the Steelers have not overcome as many as 6.5 points in, I think, 8 years now. I mean, how often?
How many times happens?
Well, I'm right. It's undermined by how often the Steelers are probably that big a dog. But yeah.
It's good. I'm excited. I look at everyone's slate. I look at the Thanksgiving, the Christmas games. I look at the Monday night slate. I figure the Monday nights are the best I've seen in a long time.
Yes, definitely. Great Monday night. Yes, let's go through them all. I love the Monday night. My first thing I look at is the Thanksgiving schedule because you know – for sure. You are going to be seated around the TV for the bulk of the day. I like that.
All right. Thanksgiving's one. Detroit, Chicago, Dallas, Oakland, and Bills Saints. That's a fun night game for sure. Oakland at Dallas seems like a game that we should win and we'll lose. Talk about a 6 or 7 point favorite. We'll probably be in that range and we'll blow it, I'm sure. Like 31-13.
Already. So
it's just how Thanksgiving is. I have low expectations. I love the holiday. But Detroit, Chicago, you like it. You like the rivalry. You like the division. I want to see a definite good quarterback in that first game when I wake up. I don't want to.
Why can't we? I mean, everything gets blown out of the water in favor of more money and game start times and on down. Everything is about what's going to get the biggest audience and make the most money. Why then are we continually stuck with the Detroit Lions? In fact.
Oh, yeah.
I may make that my New Year's resolution. As you may recall, I am not so selfish as the rest of you. I don't make a New Year's resolution just for myself each year. I do it for all of society.
You're a nostalgic guy. The Lions on Thanksgiving's fine if they're okay or if the other team's good.
Because
we're looking at fantasy players at this point, right?
No, you know why I don't like it, Sal? Because it's back-to-back dome games. That stinks at that time of the year. If Detroit wants to take it outside, if they want to play in Ann Arbor or East Lansing to provide some of the seasonal charm that's available up there in Michigan, so be it. Then maybe I'm willing to rethink it. As it stands now, give that game to somebody else. Mm. Why do we have to suffer? Except that it does kind of... It's kind of a reminder, like things could always be worse, football fan. This could be the team you watch every single week. And imagine how bad that would suck.
Yeah,
it
makes you appreciate it. It's a day for appreciating, right? It makes and you giving thankful, thanks. Right. Exactly. Hey, guys, we appreciate that you are giving up your Thanksgiving. You're skipping the meal with your family. Dave also wants you to play outside in the bitter cold. Is that good? It's 4 degrees out. Is that
if
okay?
some of us have okay. to stand out in the bitter cold to deep fry our birds, they can go play a football
That's
game
true.
Out there. These
20
creeps.
Minutes running and out of the house. All right. So what did we say? So I have a little problem with that first game. Christmas, Browns at Packers. Again, we don't know what that'll look like. But
what a beauty, though. Yeah,
makes me think the league thinks that he will be back, Rodgers, with Green Bay. But who the hell knows? You can't read into this stuff. And Indy at Arizona. That's fun. That's a fun Christmas game, too. That'll be good.
Indy at Arizona.
Yeah.
I circled this one. And in fact, I dropped the line to our pal Jeff Schwartz about this. If Carson Wentz isn't really good, I feel like that division in 20 equals last year's NFC.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, they're Carson Wentz being mediocre away from that division stinking. And I guess that maybe would give it to the Titans. It's a shame for the rest of the Colts roster because it's so loaded otherwise. But
well, that defense is very solid. And, you know,
it is.
Adding equity pay should only do it better. But, yeah, I think they're 0-7. Well, I'm looking at their opening games. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about what we talked about today. It is interesting. They open up against Seattle. And this is like Russell Wilson, who is like banging his head against the walls to try to get out of Seattle, and he didn't. And then like Carson Wentz like fumbles his way into the better situation in Indianapolis. So it's strange how
I'm bullish on being down on them Seahawks. They are not going to the playoffs. I told
you
that
a
week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we can get into our team schedule specifically. I am not an optimist, by the way. So it's very weird that I feel like the rest of society's negativity has pushed me into this spot where I have to puff my chest out on behalf of the Steelers. But I look at the schedule and I don't think I'm crazy to say 4-2 when they go into their bye. Or wait, is it 3? I think it's 5.
See,
six
this is
weeks
what here. Happens. This is what we do. We fall right into the trap. We're going through the schedule.
I don't
want to
do it. I can't help it. Because
we're
it's people
fun of
like
all
you,
these people.
It's people like you, Sal, that make me have to do it. I don't want to be doing that.
This way, because we're supposed to talk through the odds, right? You're an underdog in week one. You are a favorite at home.
That's
against
a loss.
The Raiders. Well, yeah, but let's just go underdog favorite. Favorite okay. against the Raiders week two, right?
Let's just bet the money line on all these.
Favorite
here
against
in
the Bengals week three.
I don't think it's crazy that the Pittsburgh Steelers could get in early on the Bills as though there's some unbeatable bunch up there in Buffalo. But okay, let's assume that's a loss. Now, Raiders.
Well, you play the Packers and then the Broncos. So you're going
to
see Rodgers
back to back.
Unless you might see him. Yes, you might see him twice, right? If he's traded week three. Oh, that'd be funny if he was traded week three to the Broncos and then you had to see him back to back. That's probably not going to happen. That's
dude,
a tough
I told
run,
you, Roger Goodell hates the Steelers. I told you that, dude. That's the only reason he approved that trade, so that they could beat the Steelers twice, Rodgers.
That could be a tough week 5-7 if it's Rodgers at the Steelers, Wilson at the Steelers, and then you go to see Baker.
I don't fear the Seahawks. And if the Packers are... I mean, you know, if it's Rodgers in Denver, that's a better prospect than Rodgers in Green Bay. And if it's Jordan Love in Green Bay, then that feels winnable. It's
all right,
one
so
or
I don't
want to
go through all these, but what
I'm
you,
just telling
what
you,
did,
four
no,
and
but
two,
you
look
did.
At it.
So what do you think? What do you think for the whole 17? You went through them. Don't pretend like you didn't go through
all
them.
I can say is, Sal, I protect this. I have so little in my life. One is my big preseason Steelers final record prediction, as you may
hold on to that. Yeah.
I did 6 straight years of getting it on the nose. Don't
That's
tell me
good.
I'm a homer. If I'm a homer, I would be delusional and say 16-0 or 17-0 this year. I don't. I've called them going 8-8 a couple of times and so on. I'll give you my formal pick as the eve of the season.
Okay.
I have to wait
That's
till the last
enough.
Sec. What
That's
I will
fine.
Tell you right now,
yeah.
If you want to get something now, look at on -3. I've already said this. There's no chance the Steelers don't win at least 9 games.
Here's the thing with that.
The season total is 8.5.
You pick 6. You pick 6 in a row, but you have a less smaller range than everybody else. Tomlin goes, you know, 9-7 every year when there was 16 games, or 8-8. So you don't have to consider a 3-13 or a 3-14 as it would be.
Precisely.
This week. Yes.
What is everybody talking about? And by the way, again, it's the reaction's like, whoa, that Steelers schedule looks tough. Yeah, we knew that for the last 4 months. I don't know what you're reacting to today, but yeah, am I crazy? Do you think what do you say? What have
I
you
don't know.
Bet?
I'm looking at. I have to say, every game. Here's the thing: I went over every over under. I like 80% unders, and even with the extra game, I acknowledge. And so that said, I'm like, every team I think is like 8-8 or 9-8 or 8-9. These are, again, sure, this morning we knew that there were tough games in there too, but I'm looking at stretches here. You go to the Chargers, you go to the Bengals, you have the Ravens come to you, you go to the Vikings, you have the Titans come to you, you go to the Chiefs, you have the Browns come to you, and you end it with the Ravens. My God, that's a tough second half of the season there.
Well, here's how I can spin that to you. The Steelers with Tomlin, his kryptonite, along with playing bad teams on the road. He's struggled for a decade and a half with that. Is in December. They've been lousy in December. So good. So they're not playing the Bengals and they're not playing the bum teams. They're playing the teams that they're supposed to lose to anyway. So fine. So if they lose those games, they were supposed to lose them anyway. The sky perhaps won't be falling if they do lose to the Chiefs, as a for instance, or at the Ravens to close out the season. The trick is then to maybe not 11-0, but they've got to come out of the gate, close to as hot as they did last year.
You have two Monday night games. Yeah, you have week 17 against the Browns. The Monday night games are really good, and you have week 9 against the Bears. Now, look at these. I don't know. It begins and ends with quarterbacks, right? At least it begins with quarterbacks. And how many Monday night games or Thursday night games, especially those first three or four Thursday night games, you look at the quarterbacks like, there's not a good one. I mean, I guess, who's the handsome guy with the beard on the Jaguars? He didn't last. I mean, went 2 years, but it's like, I guess he could have a good game. I don't know. You got Lamar Jackson in week one. You got, this is the scary one. Lions at Packers. That could be a dud if there's no Rodgers. But then you got Eagles, Cowboys. You got Raiders, Chargers. You got your guy, Herbert. We're going to look at that Chargers schedule. You may want to take that pick back, by the way. Colts and Ravens. Pretty good. You got Lamar back again. Bills, Titans. That's a fun game. Saints,
okay,
Seahawks.
Okay, but I just got to say.
Go ahead.
These things, when everybody spooks themselves, what you have to do is get out of your silo about your, my team's schedule looks so tough. What are we going to do? Hey, spoiler alert. The other teams in your division play essentially the exact same schedule.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, what are we talking? I mean, like, Steelers have the toughest schedule. How are they going to do anything? I don't know. Look at the Ravens schedule. It's the same schedule.
This year, it's a little tiny bit different because you got the extra game against the NFC team that finished where you finished. So, the first place teams could cry a little more. Although, people were betting the Bucks after the schedule came out. Let's look at your Chargers real quick, and then I want to go over some
other. Oh, I like that they're mine now.
Washington.
I am the first one to tell you that they're going to win that division.
You got to go to Washington. You got to come up against the Cowboys. Then you go at the Chiefs. Then home for the Raiders.
Well, Ravens, when you say it like that,
Browns,
what do you want me to
Ravens,
say?
Patriots, Eagles, Vikings, Steelers. I mean, I don't know.
Well, if you intone your voice and use certain words, it's going to make it sound much worse, obviously.
All right. What do you want to talk about for an hour? How do we do this?
Then they got to go to Charlotte, and they got to play the Panthers and Sam Darnold. Like, well, I don't know. Like, I agree.
What's the Raiders game is a night game. That's
you're talking
different.
Yourself your under every team. I can talk myself over every team. It's crazy how much every team, like, I can see that team doing better than that.
One thing's for sure, the Jags and Dolphins belong in London. And they did it again. They put them together. They're playing each other. The London game before that, not the same day, but earlier in the season, Atlanta against the Jets. Jets have a fun one. Jets Carolina week one. That's fun. Sam Darnold, right?
That's a super fun game. And I think that, you know, Matt Rhule, a lot of people thought that, you know, obviously the Broncos, it's the chief piece of evidence why they're going to get Aaron Rodgers is because they didn't take Mac Jones or Justin Fields. A lot of people in Charlotte are doing the same thing. Why didn't we take one of those guys? But you don't trade for Sam Darnold 2 weeks before the draft or whatever and then draft somebody to challenge him. I don't think.
I don't think so either.
There have been big signings like Matt Flynn to Seattle and then they draft Russell Wilson, but that was different because Russell Wilson surprised everybody and beat out the guy who they had signed. That would be weird if they... it would send a weird signal to the Panthers faithful. Like, hey, maybe you shouldn't have so much faith in this head coach here. He doesn't know what he wants a QB. And this team is far away from contention. But now if Sam Darnold's halfway decent and Rhule is the genuine article as an offensive wizard in the 21st century, I don't think it's crazy that that team can be in it. And in fact, that division has been for 15 years because of Breeze and Ryan. Mm. Has been the home of so many good QBs and Cam Newton. I think that easy to talk about Tom Brady, although I think we maybe underserve him just a little bit. As much as we talk about Tom Brady, he's 44 now and he just won the Super Bowl. I don't think we've swooned as much as we have, I don't think we've still swooned enough over how crazy it is.
Are you
kidding me? I mean it. I think it's crazy. Because he's 44. Please, don't,
people aren't talking. Yeah, I get it. That's not something that's
crazy. I know it's not new, but I still think we haven't celebrated 44, it enough.
Lots of Super Bowls. F you, Belichick. That's all anyone talk about.
I guess. I just feel like that it's still in. Will that be 20 years from now, 50 years from now? Will people say, like, that is one of the top five most amazing individual sports accomplishments that we've seen? I mean, it should be. Unless maybe he opens the gates to other guys in their mid-40s doing it. But as it stands now, it's so.
George Blanda did it.
It's so anomalous that weird old man who couldn't run when he was 21 did it when he was 44. But the other X factor of QBs here in the QB league is Jameis Winston. I mean, he was the first overall pick not that long ago, and there was reason to be optimistic about him after his first season. And when he was teaming up with Bruce Arians, maybe he'll unlock it. And it's been a little sideways, but gets the LASIK for what it's worth. Now he's with another QB guy in Sean Payton, and the table is set for that guy. I wouldn't be surprised. That's a fun candidate for over win total. I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. What's that one? That's a fun one. The Saints over.
Because
like, surely
up,
everybody's like, that's well, a Drew long Brees way to go is gone.
To not
they're
know
stink.
What the hell the win total is. But that's what we were getting at. No, and you know, it's funny. We on Fox Bet Live, we're like, we're going to go over all the Fox games today, week one. And I'm like, all right. So we start, and I'm the first to speak. They're like, Sal, Rachel's like, how excited are you, Packers and the Saints? I was like, well, I'm as excited as someone could be about a game 4 months out of which we don't know who the quarterback is going to be for either team. But I don't know what to tell you. And everyone's like, oh, boo. Producers are mad in my ear. Like, come on, move it along. I'm like, no, of course the Saints getting points is the way to go. But
let's say you're an Englishman, Sal. Which game would you rather have to go to? The Falcons, Jets, or the Jags and Dolphins? My pal, handsome Hank Hodgson, who's a diehard Dolphins fan,
yeah,
and he has a big hand in these international games, so they mean a lot to him. So I'm happy for him that his Dolphins are playing the Jags. But in the UK, do either the color aqua, or as he says it, aqua and teal, do they even exist naturally in the UK? I suspect they don't.
I don't know.
I don't think they've ever seen those colors.
They don't exist naturally? Well, what's Man City? Man City's close. It's a little powder blue. I guess it's not aqua. Yeah, and I like that you asked them if there are actual dolphins around the UK. That's it is an interesting thing. I think I'd rather see that game. I don't know. You get to see Tua is good, and Trevor Lawrence.
I guess you're right. Yeah, that's an easy answer. What am I thinking? Yeah, of course, that's a better one.
But now we've gone a long time without mentioning the marquee matchup for the year, and that's week four, Tampa Bay at New England. And babyface Joel Solomon sent to me, he's like, this is going to be the most anticipated regular season game of all time. And I was like, oh, calm down. Then I'm like, and then Michael Irvin, I'm watching him. He's like, this is going to be the most watched, the greatest. It's a great storyline. I'm like, that's interesting. Then I'm looking, is there any way? I feel like two teams have been 10-0. I remember the Giants and 49ers was a big one, regular season game, a Monday night game.
10-7, right?
Yeah, but weren't both teams 10-0 or one team was 9-1 or something?
Sounds right. And I think Phil Simms throws it to Mark Bavaro towards the end to beat the Niners.
I lost.
In San Francisco.
I had money on San Francisco for sure. I had money on the 49ers that game. It was a Monday. I was a sophomore in college for sure. I don't know. Are we there? Do we have to call it right now that's the most anticipated? If the Patriots are 1-3, it isn't, right? But I'm looking at their schedules. Like maybe they could both be 3-0. Let's see. Can they both be 3-0?
Well, you know, listen, I like it to be, for there to be some sincere conflict and some real drama going into this one. But the people who have poo-pooed me feeling that way about like Belichick definitely is upset that Brady won that Super Bowl. And then all the company men are like, I can tell you that he does not give a lick about what Tom Brady's doing. Those same people are on our TVs tonight saying like, I can guarantee you Belichick is going to have some special tricks in store for his old guy, Tom Brady, to trip him up a little bit. Like, well, so does Belichick care? Does he not? Is this just another game? Or will he say in the press conference the week before, we're on to Tampa Bay. or whatever? Or will he say like, yeah, I mean, I obviously want to win this one, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't care about him as much as I do our idiot Patriot friend fans who they better root for the Patriots this week. You could root for Tom all you want in the Super Bowl. You could put money on him. If I hear even a whiff of, you know what? Tom had three touchdown passes. They were better. They beat us 21-6. I'm gonna vomit all over Boston Harbor.
Thanks for the memories. Thanks for the memories, Tom. Yeah. But you're an old man. We're gonna move on. Okay, great stuff. Have fun, then, Florida.
All of them.
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are the greatest dream team in the history of sports and people. And I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm gonna root for both. And whoever wins, that's my guy.
Get mad. You better get mad. This is your chance. I don't think they can be undefeated, though. I'm looking. Dolphins at Patriots. Patriots at Jets. Okay. Saints at Patriots. Going to be tough. Whatever. What do I know? But ideally, they're both 3-0 going into that Sunday night affair. That would be fantastic.
I guess it's fun. It's a recurring thing for me. But I can't believe that you can look at these season totals and look at the and feel like, and feel incapable of talking yourself into all these teams exceeding what those numbers are.
I go the other way. I think because they've all screwed me one way or another. But
that's maybe it. Patriots over 9. You get that at -120.
You said they're gonna the fourth place team. Now you like them over 9.
I'm just saying I can see this division is fascinating.
We could all see it.
Would I bet on that? I mean. 9. Do you think Bill Belichick is going to have back-to-back losing seasons ultimately with this with the devotion to the free agents?
And it could be 9-8. Yeah, that might be about right. That might be about right. I mean, I don't know. You're going to make me go through that schedule, and I'm going to say this could be a loss. This could be a loss, and then you're going to yell at me. But
the Bills at 10.5 feels underwhelming. The Dolphins at 9.5, you get that at +115. I mean, for all the excitement about this team, it seems like they should hit double digits. I think that's right there. And the Jets at over 6, and you get that at -135 right now. That, for all the relative optimism from Jets fans, that feels a little low to me.
I saw a stat over the last decade. I'm not going to have it exactly, but the teams that won 2 games or fewer, so that's the Jets and the Jags, the following year. And you have to think they all got a really good draft pick, right? Maybe even a quarterback change. Following year, like 10% of them exceeded 5 wins. So if the Jets go from 2 to 6 wins, that's a lot. That's 3 times their.
You're right.
You know, right? So
a fair point.
And also, one of those teams is going to go 2-4 in the division. So who is it? Right?
That's you're right. You pointed that out the other day. That's exactly right. That they have to play head to head, and one of those two teams will take an L, and then they have 5 more of those divisional games, and that's why it's hard to do the math on this. Ultimately, do you think the Patriots are going to lose, you know, a couple times to the Jets? I mean, I right out of the gate, I just kind of feel like there's 3 wins out there to 4 wins for Belichick within the division.
Well, yeah, there may have to be. I'm looking at
and
the
that
schedule.
17th game has got to screw your brain up with all your assumptions about season win totals. Like,
sure.
we're not ready yet I predict this team is good and they will go 11-6. It doesn't hit the ear right, and I'm sure it messes with, like I say, how you've forecasted these things over the last.
I haven't looked at the whole week 17. I guess it would be week 18 now, right? The last week. But I know 2 games. I know your team, right, against the Browns, and I know the Patriots at the Dolphins, and the team that's normally getting potentially spoiled might play spoiler. I hate to say it. Right? Patriots might be in a spoiler role there. Same as your Steelers.
All right. I mean, I don't like that talk. Well, all right. You can make that talk as much as you want to. Now I'm not, I'm going to plug my ears and pretend I don't hear it. The one that jumps out at me.
Did they do all division games week 18? They had to have, right?
Well, it's weird. The Browns have a very long wait. You won't really have a great sense of what the AFC North looks
before
like
before they play a lot of it.
Because the Browns don't get to their first divisional game until sometime in November. So that's an oddball.
Week 18 is all division games. Oh, yeah, week 18 is all division games. Yeah.
The scary one to me is if you've been following pro football for any amount of time, the weirdo week every season is week 3. That's a week you have to look at with your team. I don't like seeing that my team has a game that they certainly should win. They host the Bungles, in week three. Weird crap goes on in
you gotta think at some point you're gonna split. You're gonna split with the Bengals, right?
That's another team. That's another team that, you know, I mean, obviously it has a great deal to do with where you think Joe Burrow goes coming off the knee injury, but look at that roster. Is it garbage at this point? It certainly is not. The defense is greatly tuned up. And AJ Green's absence, which seemed to be crippling for the last 5 years. It's like, oh yeah, we're past AJ Green anyway. We don't, we're not going to miss him at all with our new pass catchers here. I can see that thing being good.
Joel wants to jump in here. He made the point that this is the most anticipated game. I don't know. I still rather see like 2 10-0s. I can't even off the top of my head remember. I just know that there were games like that in history.
No, this is, I can't wait for this game. I don't understand it. Maybe Brett Favre returning to Lambeau, or I don't know if Bubby Brister ever returned with the Broncos to Three Rivers, but this is the title fight you want. This is, and on top of all that, Brady is 1,154 yards behind Breeze, so you're going to even have more anticipation that he could break the record.
He could break the record in Foxborough. Wow.
This is like a huge game. And also, this is the Patriots Super Bowl. This is Belichick's Super Bowl. His only chance to one-up him and have a little bit of bragging rights. I can't wait for this game. And honestly, I don't even have a dog in this fight.
All right. I'm just going to make a t-shirt out of it for sure. All right. That's exciting. Spaghetti, what about your team? I know we're missing something. Are you okay with the Giants schedule the way it
Not okay out? With that win total. 7. Disrespectful to Danny Dimes.
Yeah, it's a little low, but I mean, it's a good number. If you want to bet above the 7 win total, I would certainly take that number over the 7. And we did mention the Giants Chargers matchup. That is a win for the Giants because I will be in attendance for that game, cheering them on. So my energy will equal one victory.
That's great. We all have games at the Chargers. That's fun. All of our teams. I'll say this: I gave out the Bucks under, what was it, 11.5 the other day. Yeah. I gave out another one. I wanted to find an over. I really can't find too many, but I think it's in the NFC East. You're going to undervalue the Giants or the Eagles or the Washington team, but Washington's at 8. I wouldn't touch that. The Giants are at 7. The Eagles, is as much as I have my questions about Jalen Hurts, you get it at 6.5. So you go 7-10, you're in decent shape there. Well, you win the bet. That's the one you like, Eagles.
I don't like that one, but that's exactly what I'm talking about with the extra game. Now, 17 games. I saw that Eagles one, and I was like, oh yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like that. 6-10 is about right, I think they should. And then you're like, oh yeah, wait.
You get the extra one.
You really got to stink to not get over 6.5 if you're the Eagles with a 17th game.
Home against the Cowboys. Now that I look at it, Eagles, it's the week 18 game, Eagles Cowboys.
I'm intrigued by Spaghetti's team. I think Washington is really, I'm not a big Fitzmagic guy over the course of 16 games, but the 9.5 for your guys, that's low with the 17th game. The 10.5 is like, 9.5. For a team presumably winning the division, just because that's what happened last year, is not an indicator this season. I don't think. I
like 10-7. I'm not. You know, it's May. I'm not going to go crazy that we're going to go, you know, 6-11 yet. I have to think my team is the scariest offense in the division, and it could go 10-7. But I hate these other teams, so I'm irrational when I look at that NFC East.
Well, the other thing that you should be excited about more than anything, I think, is CeeDee Lamb. And just what you saw in the back half of the season, and they stunk, and it was Andy Dalton and all that. And so you tempered your excitement for the future there. But let's take a step back and think about him as your featured receiver with Dak back there. They should really light it up. Now, same spot as last year, though. Are they going to be winning games 48-46? I don't know.
Well, what
was
you
the
know
score
what?
Of that Peyton game?
I want to give. 48? Oh yeah, I think it was that. But I'm going to regret saying this. Maybe clip this off. But I want to give Mike McCarthy the benefit of a doubt. He probably couldn't have come into a worse situation as a new coach, not even just for the Cowboys, for any team where, you know, your receivers became familiar with the quarterbacks over Zoom. And if Mike McCarthy, he really looked out of his element a lot last year. And I have to think, he buys it back a little this year. And then Dan Quinn doing the 4-3 defense. I don't know. Maybe it's a coaching upgrade without even upgrading. So
that's right. Dan Quinn, some human beings, for whatever reason, it's hard to put your finger on exactly, but some coordinators are born to be coordinators and not head coaches and vice versa, you know, mm-hmm. and Herm Edwards is one of those guys who is, you know, he walks into room to room like, hey, now need you doing it right. Cause if you do it right with your head, then you do it right with your butt. And when your butt's singing, that's when we got a song. And then he like walks out of the room and everybody's like, what the hell just happened? I feel like
it's coaching college now. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Dan Quinn is going to prove Wade to Phillips, be,
same kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I think he's born to be a clever, at least enough in that division. And mm-hmm. you're right. And things went against the Cowboys starting with Dak and, and Zeke couldn't be worse. The offensive line will be healthier this year. I think, and then again, a bad division.
Yes. Did we hit everything? I mean, we'll be talking about more stuff. Again, I know I missed out on who goes on the road and forever and doesn't come back as 3 out of 5, 4 to 6 on the road or whatever. But I think we hit everything. Aaron Rodgers, London games, Thanksgiving, Christmas games, Tampa Bay, New England. Great Monday night
slate.
Wait,
prop bets, though.
Let's go.
One, Aaron Rodgers. What jersey does he wear in September?
12.
Mr. Weisenheimer.
Are the odds on that? Minus,
I think they're pretty close 200. To even odds.
I thought I saw yesterday minus 200 to take the first snap with Green Bay. But my God, you would think it would be the other way, at least with all the talk. I mean, it's
because of all
conclusion.
His pals like James Jones and John Kuhn and otherwise weighing in. Like, I think this is still fixable. Right. I guess what do we know about what Aaron Rodgers is thinking?
You know, part of me thinks, I know that this would cost him like $20 million, but I still think, part of me thinks that they, if he really goes through with this, they want to make him the bad guy. And you're like, all right, you want to sit? You'll have everybody hate you except Shailene. She'll be the only one on your side. And you're going to sit and you're going to cost this team the season. And, you know, we didn't really have a chance to get it together by the time you had your temper tantrum, you know. So go ahead, sit, and then you'll be hated, and then you'll take a year off. And now you're, 38 years old with a year off. And good luck getting back in your groove with another team in the cold weather or something. So,
but it's Russian roulette, Sal. You don't know what's going to happen with Jordan Love. And just as Aaron Rodgers, he probably – I wonder if that's a part of his calculation. I'm with this guy every day. I know what he knows. I know what he grasps about pro football defenses. I see his skill set. I know exactly what he's going to do in his first season. I went through that, taking over for Brett Favre and the pressure of doing that in Lambeau Field, a future Hall of Famer and all that. You know, are they really going to play that game of high stakes poker and bluff Aaron Rodgers and say like, yeah, go ahead, sit it out. We'll go with the kid. If he's great, then they're geniuses, but they're out of a job by
no, but what's the difference? If they trade him, they're only getting picks that they could get. They can't use those first round picks this year, right? So what's the difference? They're starting Blake Bortles or Love either way.
You really think they would start Blake Bortles? You really think it would start Bortles over Jordan Love?
I think the job will have to be won. And I also think, I don't know, I'm so down on Rodgers right now. Blake Bortles, how many years removed from that Steelers game? Is that 4 or 5 years?
It was be 4 years. All right, 4 years. Right? 20, yeah, 4 years.
Okay, so Jared Goff made a Super Bowl 3 years ago. Blake Bortles, you know, not great, but Jared Goff, the Bears rookie quarterback, or Andy Dalton and Kirk Cousins would be the best of that division. It's not crazy. We talked about what the over-under for wins would be if the Packers started with Jordan Love and Blake Bortles. I think Furman was saying 6.5. I think it's still 8. I still think they're like a 500 team. They have decent defense. Got Aaron Jones, you know, like,
wow.
They come to play. Tough team to beat at home. If they have fans. I don't know. I'm down on Rodgers.
That's fine. I mean, I agree with you about your larger point. I don't necessarily like Blake Bortles like that, but I do. It's the two Steves conundrum that I often point to. Steve Kerr and Steve Alford both drafted late in the second round. in the same year. One guy goes on to hit the game-winning shot fed to him by Michael Jordan. The other guy's out of the league after three forgettable seasons. Right. And it all has to do with where they landed. But you put a lot of these guys, Baker Mayfield, if you put him on the Jags, he would not be good. He'd be a punchline. As it stands, though, he has a real chance to make a deep playoff run because of all the stuff around him. I don't know if I
agree
still
with that
a punch about Blake
line,
Bortles.
But yeah, I get it. He can win some playoff games.
That's because he believes in UFOs. But
right, for sure. Hey, one of the things, though, Dave, as long as we're talking about basketball here, one of the things I love about betting on basketball is always finding new player props or game props. FanDuel Sportsbook lets you combine them. You can put them all together from the same game to score even a bigger payout. Yes, it's called the same game parlay bet. You find them on FanDuel. So many market options, player point totals, rebounds, assists, money line, over under, and the spread, of course. Put a small bet down, win big, odds are high, which results in great payouts. Whether you are new or you have FanDuel Sportsbook, you use it every day. Check them out. Same game parlay. If you haven't done it, new users get a risk-free bet in addition to same game parlays up to $1,000. Just place a bet and FanDuel will refund you up to a grand back in site credit if you don't win. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and use promo code extra points at sign up. That is promo code extra points. Now, this is Wednesday night. Not a ton of Thursday night games out right now, but I found a nice same game parlay here. Hornets. Yes, the Hornets against the Clippers. Hornets are home. I like them to lead the game at half and to win the game between 1 and 10 points. Yes, that fits the same game parlay because it has an SGP right there in the corner for both those bets. You combine them. I think they find the Clippers on an off night, and who knows? Maybe Kawhi sits. Could be one of those games. They'll lead at halftime. They'll win the game between 1 and 10 points. 7-1 odds. Rozier, 43 the other night. You had Devonta Graham, 31 off the bench. LaMelo looking to lock in that Rookie of the Year award. Hornets will win by 1-10, and they have the lead at half. 7-1 odds on the same game parlay. Dave, you got a winner for us?
I do, and I will. I'll go to the world of baseball. I'm saying that's allowed by
you can do that,
even though we're going off of NBA here. I'm going to go with Spaghetti's Yanks there, -130 to win. Actually, I want to do the double play here: Yanks to win. And under 8.5, that pays out. That's +240. Jameson Taillon starting to turn the corner in his last two starts, washing off the stink. He got in the bathtub, tomato juice and industrial soaps to wash off the stink of the Pirates. Well, you have to. It's not an instantaneous process. Garrett Cole took a minute before he was finally like, yeah, and Chaz Morton. It goes on and on. The point is, eventually you round into shape. Talk about situation being critical to talented athletes. Jameson Taillon, take the Yanks to win in Tampa and for the game to go under. Both good pitchers, both teams of late have been going under pretty consistently there. I say make the double play there. And you know what? You want another one? You didn't ask for it. You're getting it anyway.
What is it?
I feel very confident in this one. Boston Bruins -136 to win their series against the Capitals. I feel
to win
very
the whole series.
Much more than I feel about the Penguins Islander series. I am as close to certain as one could be between two apparently
evenly
matched.
You've been down on the
teams.
Caps all year. They're slow, right?
It's catching up to them, man. They're old and they are not built for 2021, and they're about to get exposed.
All right,
and they're banged up.
That starts Saturday. There's that line. There's another line up too, but I don't want the Yankees to take over New York just yet. These Mets are fun to watch. They're running into walls. They're fighting in the dugout. They have three pitchers in the top seven in ERA. We're going to get DeGrom back in about 7 or 8 days. It'll be fun. They've won. What have they won? 7 in a row? What a fun team. They did it at like 9
good
in the morning.
Good for you.
West Coast. I like
good
it.
Good for
excited.
You with your Metropolitans. I know. Listen, because I know you're not crazy for the hockey the way I am. And, you know, we get these little drips and drabs from the NFL, but that's still for. I'm happy for you to have something.
It makes the summer go. You gotta like. You have to have a baseball team that's competitive, right?
There's nothing like. I know football has our visceral, sort of. It commands our attention and our passion more than anything. But baseball is number one because exactly like you say,
just it gets relaxed, the stage
to
right?
well, but it also gets thing. The stage to itself yeah. All summer long. And it's the everydayness of it that wins you ultimately. I mean, like, right. you know, like every day you get an update to it and it becomes a part of your life, almost like your kids, or perhaps mm-hmm. more important than your kids is, oh yeah, well, with that 3-hour block that you get every day is hard to beat, whether it's on the radio or on the TV or otherwise. I know people romanticize, or they overly romanticize it in my book at this mm-hmm. point, a little too precious, but your point stands, and I'm glad the Metropolitans are good for you. I'm going to be going to a Buccos game at some point this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, taking the kids we there.
Do it. Yeah, Mets don't play nice. The Dodgers. They don't play in Chavez Ravine until late August, I don't think. But, yeah, we gotta hit some games.
I got to tell you to there. Pay it it's off. Time.
Yeah.
I had a feel. I knew that there was something I liked about it, and here mm-hmm. it is. The New Orleans Saints win total for this season, 17 games, mind you.
Nine. Yeah. That's what I thought.
You get that for -115. Don't you think that's low?
I got to see. I'm not convinced that Peyton's going to figure out this quarterback thing just yet. He probably will by the time the season ends, but it might take a month.
I don't we'll know. See. I know it obviously unorthodox, but I think that
defense
will work
too,
well. Though. I mean, they're so low that, you know, the point is that they're loaded everywhere else. And is Jameis Winston not as good as... I mean, the people who are the Browns are contenders, don't you see? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is contingent on Baker Mayfield not screwing it up. Is everybody that convinced that number one draft pick is certainly better than Jameis Winston? I'm not.
Here's a nice Jameis Winston. Sort of math. No, for all the Jameis Winston fans out there. Jameis Winston. Now, you could say what you want about the interceptions, and it's a real thing. But most passing yards in the first 5 seasons in NFL history. Peyton Manning, 20,618. Dan Marino, 19,422. In between them, Jameis Winston, 19,737. That's pretty good. I don't think he can keep that guy on the bench. I think he's more likely to figure out his shortcomings and how to limit them than he is to fail. Like, right? Like, that's a good passer, I think. That's a guy who can find receivers, whether they're wearing his jersey or not.
Unless it's Sean Payton. I mean, but he gets the same bang if he makes Jameis Winston work too. But just for all the, what are you doing? You're putting Drew Brees on the sideline for Taysom Hill. I think he wants that to work. I think he wants to show it to the league. Yeah. And I think the same math works that you put him in the red zone and some trickery along the way. But Jameis has to be the guy. That's a great stat. The same people who say that doesn't matter, raw passing yards don't matter, the same people who hold up Drew Brees and say he's the all-time leading, like, all right, well, does it matter or not, the raw passing yards?
The guy eats W's, too. He eats W. What more do you want in a quarterback?
Yeah, and he has a whole, yeah, this crab thing. I once gave him at NFL Honors on the red carpet. I used to give everybody a parting gift after I would interview them so that they could go sit for the next 3 hours in black tie and watch a show. I was for the effort. Mm-hmm. I gave Jameis Winston once a goldfish in a bowl, and he really loved it, and he took it with him. And then I would check in with him periodically for updates on how the goldfish was doing. He's a lovely guy.
Goldfish, crab legs, yes,
that's it.
He loves it all. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this. I didn't put it in the rundown because I was hoping you didn't see it, and I want to bet on this.
Okay.
Forbes came out with their highest paid athletes. You know, it includes everything, endorsements, everything.
Ooh, I didn't see this.
Top 10, good. How many do you think you can name? Don't start saying names. Just give me the number.
And this is the world over, obviously.
Yes, but I'll say this. It's definitely got all guys you've heard of. There's no dumb shit.
I'll go with 5.
I was going to say 5.5. I think we have to make you get 6.
Okay.
All right? Okay. Who wants to bet me? Who wants to bet me? I really want to bet $20
on this.
I'll
do my best. You have my solemn vow to try my hardest.
I don't want your vow. I want your $20. Let's bet 5.5. You have to go over.
Oh, I have to get 5.5. Okay, all right. I see.
$20. No, this is a real thing. We're going to Venmo each other. You guys, Babyface and Jim, you want in on this? Great. Team players. Joel, which way would you go? Forget it. I mean,
I have $20 too. I think I have confidence in Dave to go under.
You're
going to
say over?
To go under. I'm going under.
Jim, do you think he'll go under also?
Definitely.
All right. Well, how about just me? Go ahead. How do you want to do this? How about it's just me versus you? But I want, I need
$20. Here's my question. Here's my question, though. Yeah. You have to give me some parameters. This is for one 12 month stretch, like January through December kind of thing, or like size of contract.
Let me read this.
Because that's obviously a big difference.
It's endorsements.
May 1st, 2020 to May 1st, 2021.
Okay, fair enough.
What else do you need to know?
I will even tell you, I'll give you, because I think this is the unfair part. If I say this, though, you're going to get it. There's four.
No, don't give me any clues.
No?
That's fine. I'll be all right. If it's based on one year.
Why don't I just say this? There's only four guys in the four major sports, and, you know, hockey's not one. You know, hockey's not. So the three major sports, and I'll even tell you.
You don't have to tell me anything.
Four guys are in the two of the four major sports.
Four guys are in the two major sports.
Yes.
I don't even know what you count in 2021 as two major sports.
There's no baseball player. I'm saying two of the four major sports. There's no baseball player. All right, so that's it. That's a pretty good hit. You got four guys. Very good.
All right. I'll start you off with the only two who I can name that are, you know, way up there.
So I'm not going to tell you if you're wrong. So you're going to say 10 names and then at
Cristiano
the end.
And Messi. Then I'm going to go LeBron James. Then I'm going to go Mr. Dak Prescott.
Now you're looking at something now. I think you're looking at something. I can't tell what you're looking at.
Then I'm gonna go with endorsements is a big. I'm gonna have to go with Tiger. Okay, that's five.
You have five. You have five more.
Did I say? I didn't say Patrick Mahomes yet. So that's six.
Okay.
Stafford doesn't do any endorsements really. Oh. The biggest star in the world this side of soccer players is Odell Beckham. I'm going to roll the dice and say Odell. No. I didn't say that. I take it back.
Okay.
I almost did, but I didn't. Next. I'm going to go Steph Curry.
All right. Do you want me to tell you what number 10 made? Would that help?
Okay.
So last on the list made $75 million. First made, according to Forbes, earned $180 million. That's your range. And you have three names left.
I'm trying to think of...
And let me just say this. It's going to be close.
Canelo?
Okay.
Trying to think of who would be the biggest draw at this point in boxing. Who would... Can't be... Be a heavyweight, can it? No, there wouldn't be a heavyweight in that mix. Then I will say, I gotta get I gave you two NBA so far. I'll say Anthony Davis. No, that doesn't make sense. Giannis does, though. Giannis makes
all
sense.
Right.
I'm gonna go with Giannis, and to round it out, he does all he does so many of the wait, did I Rodgers or is it?
Jim, you're going to put music over this so it's not this goddamn boring.
All right, I'll go with Aaron Rodgers. He's the other insurance guy. All right, I couldn't just reel him off. I was trying. I didn't want to just give you answers.
I got five, I'll tell you that.
You got five.
Let me tell you the ones you got. We'll do this, right?
Okay.
You got Messi. You got LeBron. You got Dak. Now, you said Cristiano...
Yeah.
What's his name?
You know who I mean. The handsome devil.
They're all very handsome. I'm looking at these.
No, that guy, though. He's
all right. Ronaldo. Ronaldo. He was number three.
I knew it was Ronaldo. If it were Aaron Rodgers' television program where he asks the trivia questions, I would have said, who is Cristiano?
Right.
And if they said, we need more, I would have said, who is Cristiano Ronaldo?
Trying to figure out how to make this American Idol exciting style because the number is over 5.5. You have four, but that was it. That's all you got.
That's all you got, right. Really?
You missed number one, Conor McGregor.
Mahomes?
games?
Conor McGregor, $180 million.
I would not have guessed.
Conor McGregor. Messi was $130 million. You got that. Ronaldo, or as you want to call him, Cristiano, $120 million.
I just wanted to make sure I got it right.
Dak was fourth with $107.5 million. So you got three out of the first four. And then LeBron is fifth. So you got four out of the first five. He has 96.5. Neymar, $95 million. He's sixth. Roger Federer, $90 million, seventh. Lewis Hamilton. It's always that Formula One guy. You don't know that racer. Every single race.
I wouldn't be able to guess who it is, though. And
How about this? Tom Brady.
Yeah, I almost said Brady. Yeah,
76 million Fanatics, eyewear maker, Christopher Clues. I think he plays football, all the TB12 crap, all that. And Kevin Durant's 10.
I gave some thought to Durant, too. I did. He's more tenured than Giannis, so that would have made sense. All right.
Just send it to me. You just Western Union me $20, and we'll be fine. All right,
I'll give it to you.
Joel, what'd you think of that? You went under also. Would you have gotten those, Joel?
I just made $20. That was great.
Would you have gotten any of those?
Well, being that I was going to say Jake Paul and Logan Paul, no, I probably wouldn't.
All right. Give us your extra point. What was the best point made today in this podcast? And then Jim is going to, he's going to come outside himself and say something negative about us.
Oh, man. A lot of good points, but I give my best point tonight to Dave Damashek for pointing out Thanksgiving games. Not all traditions, just because it's a tradition doesn't mean it's a good tradition. The Lions at least take the game outside. It's pointless. Not even Detroit fans want to go to these games. One of Dave's favorite Broadway shows, Fiddler on the Roof, even Tevye would be like, tradition, blech.
I have to say, I think if you woke up and didn't see the Lions on your TV, you would freak the F out. You'd be like, what is Falcons, Dahl? What am I doing here? I have to go back to bed. You wouldn't.
Can
know
I tell you,
something?
I like Sal's. I think Sal figured it out. It's Thanksgiving, and we are thankful that the Lions aren't our team.
That's
and
right.
They serve as our annual reminder. This is what you could be rooting for. So shut up about the surprising loss your team took last month.
Exactly. Thank you. So I get an assist on the penalty. I don't know how that works. All right, Jim, tell us the worst point made an extra.
Funny
point.
Enough, my worst point. Well, same Dave thing? Is from Dave, and it's to get the Lions off of the Thanksgiving game.
What?
What I was thinking the whole time. I was like, what the hell is this? Don't
right.
But since we already went through all that, I'll give it to Sal for having Dave guess all those things for 10 minutes.
That wasn't a point.
Why? Why do you not like that?
I told you, Jim, you're going to put music over
it. It was pointless.
Nice.
Same thing.
You see that they said that the listener is playing right along with me? Like, I disagree with Dave on that one. Oh, good pick there, Dave. I like that one. That's what happens.
All right. Extra pointless. What do we got going on? Hey, against all odds tomorrow, Mark Schlereth. An Alaska state champion and wrestler is going to be on. He started all this nonsense with Aaron Rodgers. He's coming on. He could do it tomorrow night. So that'll be fun. Dave, you have -3. You have one in the can, and you're doing one Thursday as well, right?
Yeah, we'll focus in on our three divisions, AFC East, NFC East, and AFC North. We'll chop up what's upcoming in the East Division. We already did that, though, with one of the great hockey minds out there, Josh Yowie from The Athletic. We forecasted the two matchups in that East Division. And then also we did a deep dive on a subject very important to me. It's the crime of the century. Wayne Gretzky getting the MVP trophy, the Hart trophy back in 1989, despite the fact that Mario Lemieux scored 31 more points. Everybody's worried about Connor McDavid. Well, he better get it. Yeah, well, he's going to get it. Who else should have gotten it? Because he had by far and away the best points total and otherwise 32 years ago. The greatest to ever play the game, Mario Lemieux. Go listen to him. -3.
Well,
it's
listen to
one.
Me. I listened to this whole thing today. It was like an hour and 40 minutes. And you say we previewed the first round and also we you did 150 minutes on Mario Lemieux in 1989 and then a little bit of previewing that.
That was a good preview. You got to say that was a good breakdown of the two series. And we steered you into.
It was a lot. I mean,
bets,
you
hopefully.
Made every single point about this Mario Lemieux. I just felt like it was a conversation that that could have been had like on the train on the way to a musical or something. And you made a podcast.
I've had a
90-minute podcast on this.
I've had that conversation, you know, at least 3,000 times.
It sounded rehearsed a little bit. No, it was fascinating. And if you love the Mario Lemieux versus Gretzky stuff, it's great. But I will say one thing. What made me laugh, and I actually laughed out loud in my car, you talk about, oh, the numbers don't matter. Kerry Collins has more passing yards than Joe Montana. Emmitt Smith has more rushing yards than Jim Brown. He's a better running back, so that makes sense. But I get what your point is. And then you like, oh, the numbers shouldn't matter. And then it's like, well, how did they not give it to Lemieux? He had more points in 1989. So when you want to use the numbers, it works for you. But when
you understand my point.
I did when you did it the first time, but then when you switched it on, I didn't understand.
No, you understood my point. Those points that Gretzky was racking up with his future Hall of Fame line mates are no surprise. He didn't make those guys better. They were good with or without him. The journeyman bums who Lemieux made relevant by being on his line. Now that he actually made those guys better.
All right. I don't want to. Listen, if you want it, you'll get plenty of this. You can go to -3. You get an hour and a half.
It's captivating.
It's
not in it.
It's good. I listen to the whole thing, but let me just say this. I don't know about 1989, but without Wayne Gretzky, hockey is a zero sport. I'm sorry. It's not. A lot of people don't watch. You're competing with men's soccer in the U.S. if no Wayne Gretzky. Give me that at least. Come on.
I don't know how that equals. I don't know how that equals.
I'm just saying there's a lot of Wayne Gretzky bashing in general. Like you could, after listening to it, I didn't even think he was a top 10 hockey player.
Hey, no. I said he's a genius. And Yoey is much more credible than I am as a national.
You're both lunatics.
he's not a lunatic. And you could hear. All he made valid points about Gretzky being. And were you there that night?
I know. I heard the story.
With Shrifty?
Were you there when that happened? He was the one that grabbed you when Gretzky was on and
what the hell?
He was a guest on Jimmy Kimmel Live and you wouldn't let him leave until he said the great. He said Lemieux was a great player and that wasn't enough for you.
No, it wasn't enough for me. And Shrifty armbarred me. What the hell are you doing? You can't attack our digger. You can't get into fights with our guests.
It's kind of true. Yeah, it's kind of true.
Why look who's talking. You hit Lennox Lewis with a pillow on purpose.
That was planned. Spaghetti, what did you think?
He didn't like it.
It was a lot, right?
I felt kind of like Jim just did during that segment.
He has to impress his fancy friend Sal. He has to show off.
No, I said this in the podcast. Besides the fact that I did a beautiful noir intro, the point that I make, and Sal, you kind of just said it too, is like they made it seem like Wayne Gretzky was like a third line grinder. And then what's crazy about it, and it's fine. I'm okay with Dave thinks that's fine. The funniest thing is that like Josh is a credible NHL insider, works for the
team. Not
anymore. He's the biggest. He is like the biggest homer I've ever seen. And
what are you talking about?
He was treating Wayne Gretzky like he was a piece of trash. Yeah. Like, I could not believe I was hearing this. And they're like, oh yeah, you got to finish his career in New York. It's like, it's not, I mean, he's Tom Brady.
He saved your sport. Like, he saved your sport.
It has nothing to save the sport. It has nothing to do with him as a player. It's just that there was another player who happened to be in the league at the same time who was better than he is.
Because he had more points.
Any sort of negativity directed at him was on a personal level. If it makes him feel any better, it wasn't about how good he is at hockey. Right. It's that he's cloying and he's passive aggressive and all of that.
Joel Solomon, speaking of cloying and passive aggressive, you are sentenced to listen to this podcast. I listen to every minute.
Thank you, Sal.
And I'm fascinated and I'm furious and a lot of things, but Joel, you have to listen to it. Jim, you won't be able to get through it.
Oh no, Sal, I just wanted to take back my point of the day and from Dave, I'm giving it to you for Dave using numbers only when they benefit.
Right.
That's irresponsible journalism.
Thank you.
You are now getting my point of the day.
Believe me, we all do it. I do it all the time too.
Robbie Brown had 49 goals in 68 games. He never had more than 24 in any other season. What are we even talking about?
All right. What are we talking about? All right. Like I said, -3, catch both episodes this week. Oh, what do we do? Laugh lines with Michael Davies. That was a lot of fun, Joel, right?
Oh, yeah. Spaghetti? That's excellent.
That was a good time. Jim, what do you think? I asked Michael Davies. I'm like, can you make that a TV show? What did he say, Jim? He kind of said no.
Yeah,
right?
He said definitely, as long as Jim is involved.
He did mention you a lot. There you go.
He is a charming mofo. I'll say that, man. He is really good. Yeah.
He needs to ditch the accent, but other than that, good enough guy. Betting Academy, Lemon Pepper Parlay. We got it all. Card Wars. Yes. And like I said, Against All Odds tomorrow, Mark Schlereth and the Degenerate Trifecta. Oh, we did our first to 10, Dave. We actually won. It's crazy. And Harry was 3 seconds ahead of us. So that we have to figure that out. He's always at a hotel or something where he can't pause it and then where we could all get on the same thing.
Continental Harry's all over the place. You never know where he's going to come down. Yeah,
I know. It's ridiculous.
He's red hot, though. Got to tip your hat to him. And in fact, the Degenerate Trifecta collectively pretty hot of late.
Everyone's good. Yeah, it's crazy. Piacenti, you and Hench. Everyone's giving picks. Martin Weiss, I think he went against Westbrook today. Everyone's getting bit by the Westbrook bug. Atlanta won that game, but didn't cover, right? Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, Harry mentioned in his video, he's like, Russell Wilson has been fantastic for the Wizards. It's like his eyes are half closed. He's got to stop drinking the weed soda because he's doing these videos. He's like, and then I looked at the box score. Russell Wilson didn't do anything for the Wizards.
Wait, tonight. He's getting right before he goes live?
I don't think he, this was like a video he makes for the thing. So he just bangs it out and whatever. But yeah, he's getting right, but he's getting wrong. So everything's wrong by that. Russell Wilson.
Anyway. Nets whipped. There you go. That's the one I did put that out there. Look at -3 pod if you want daily picks. Obviously, the Degenerate Three are doing it every day. Martin Weiss, Piacente, and otherwise. But we're trying to get those out there for the Northeast sports fan. We gave you the Nets with the over and covering against the Spurs there. Look out for that. If Harden's back. What did Harden do tonight? I didn't see
it. I didn't even see what he did. They won that game, right?
Near triple double.
Yeah. So all right. That's gonna be fun to look for.
Celtics are done. Path is a little clear for the Nets.
He's got a ways to go to catch Kevin Durant, number 10, $75 million. Reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.